Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. This is show number 394 for August 2018. I'm Barry Kantz, your host, and I want to welcome you to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. And if you've been around for a while listening to the show, thank you for being a longtime listener. And if you're a new listener, what we're all about is the travel trade. And if you're interested in becoming a travel advisor, then you've come to the right spot. Or if you're a longtime travel advisor, we hope to provide you with a lot of good information through this show. And if you want to reach out to me, you can do that by email at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. Or you can reach out to us on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS and sign up there and like us on Facebook. When you go to our webpage at hometravelagent.net, you'll find an area there on the right-hand side of the page where you can sign up for the monthly newsletter. And what that newsletter is, it's our notification to you by email that the show has been produced, and we give you a little bit of a synopsis in the email about the show. So if you want to get that in your email, just go over to hometravelagent.net and sign up there for the email newsletter. Well, since 2012, we have been a NACTA affiliate. And what's happening now is that NACTA and ASTA, both are the same organization, but they are rebranding themselves, and all for the benefit for the travel advisor. Now notice I say travel advisor, not travel agent, because in this interview that's coming up, I learned something that maybe I should have known, but it really hit me when our guest said that agent implies an order taker. And people in the travel trade now that are out there selling travel are more than order takers, they're really advisors. So we should probably begin changing agent to advisor. And that got me to thinking that maybe the title of the show is a little outdated. So what I'm going to do is begin the process of changing the show, the branding of the show, from Home-Based Travel Agent Show to the Home-Based Travel Advisor Show. And I've already picked up a couple of domain names that I can use to begin this rebranding process. So in the future, and I might slip on this every once in a while, but in the future, I think we should refer to ourselves as advisors, and this will be the Home-Based Travel Advisor Show. So we'll give that a try. But anyhow, before I keep rattling on here too long, we want to get into the interview portion of the show. It does go a little bit long. I hope you find it interesting. So here we go. Let's get into the interview. Hello, everyone. This is the interview portion of the Home-Based Travel Agent Show, as you've probably guessed from my earlier introduction. But today we have Lorene Romero back with us, and it's nice to have her around. Always fun. And we have a guest. And what I want to do is turn it over to Lorene to introduce our wonderful guest.
Well, good morning, Barry. I would love to introduce our guest. We have known each other, Lynn and I have known each other for several years. Not only are we friends, but we are side-by-side leader positions at NACTA. And we're going to talk about some of the little bit of changes that were just announced. Linda Philippi is located in the greater Portland area. She and I have known each other because we are both chapter directors on the West Coast. She in her area, me as a co-director in the San Francisco Bay Area for NACTA. And they just had a huge announcement about some rebranding at the NACTA ASTA conference that Linda was at in D.C. last week. So I wanted to use Linda as a resource to be able to talk about some of the rebranding changes. Hot off the presses. I mean, it's so fresh that her FedEx box from the conference still hasn't even returned to her yet. That's how short she has been home. But Linda, I would love to hear a little about who you are, what kind of agent you are, some of the changes that you saw at the conference, and what we have forward to listening to. So, Linda, I'm going to turn the mic over to you. in a virtual way since we're in different states. And Abby, tell us a little bit about yourself. And I'm so thankful that you are here on the call today. And why don't you take it away?
Okay, thank you, Lorene and Barry. I'm Linda Philippi. My travel company is Renaissance Travel and Events, which has been in business since 2001 here in the Portland metro area. I'm actually based in McMinnville, Oregon, which is the heart of the Oregon wine country. And it's a super popular tourist destination in its own right. But I represent the ASTA, formerly NACTA, hybrid chapter in Oregon. And we made the decision about a year ago to try some hybrid chapters, particularly in the Pacific Northwest, as the ASTA chapter had formerly encompassed the states of Oregon, Washington, Montana, Idaho, and Alaska, and there was no ASTA representation here. There hadn't been for the past several years. So we broke that large territory up into a greater Portland ASTA and a greater Seattle ASTA, and then the vast, you know, half of the United States that remains has turned into a Pacific Northwest virtual chapter so that members, no matter how they can be in Barrow, Alaska, far flung up there, and they can still have access to and be part of a network of agents. And we felt that that was very important. So those are the three. And then
what was your role in this? Because this sounds like a lot of work.
Well, actually, if you want the truth, I suggested to Kimberly Sherritt that we try hybrid chapters because there had been no ASTA representation for several years in my area. And as I approached people who I knew were members of ASTA and had been part of the ASTA leadership team, you know, they all encouraged me to go ahead and step up and take it on. And I thought, well, you know, I mean, ASTA is owns NACTA. NACTA is wholly owned by ASTA. So it really makes sense in the future as we're moving forward that we're probably going to be moving forward together. And the reason I thought this is I knew that ASTA had not changed their mission at all. It's still to advocate for the traveling public and for travel advisors working in the field and the industry as a whole. But I also knew that they were very interested in reaching out to independent contractors who, probably like many of the people listening to this podcast, are working remotely, perhaps, you know, through a host, perhaps on their own, but they don't necessarily have access to a lot of the resources and things that perhaps a host agency might have in Ohio, and they're in California and they're all by themselves. So that was a big push. And in fact, the IC segment is the fastest growing segment, not only in the travel advisor community, but also within the ranks of the ASTA membership itself.
Excellent. And that's true. I mean, we are all one. Yes. And this is to be able to bring things more cohesiveness together. Will there be a big promotion of this coming soon?
Well, I think so. But, you know, I'll talk a little bit about the whole branding/rebranding process. And I think, you know, maybe several other people know now that when ASTA was originally conceived, it was the American Steamship, you know, tour operator agency, something like that. So at some point they came together and said, you know, we better change this name because steamships are not going to be the wave of the future very likely. However, ASTA, the acronym, was written into the constitution, the bylaws of the organization, hence the name. The idea to change it to travel advisors came about because ASTA engaged in some significant research and gave people 8 choices, such as agent, advisor, concierge, you know, consultant, a lot of different options in terms of what they think of when they think of somebody who can, a professional to help plan travel. And advisor came out on top. Agent was thought to be, in the feedback, was thought to be more like a person who sells you travel or takes your order. So, you know, you call up an OTA or something like that, and that's an agent. Whereas an advisor is somebody who will collaborate with you as you plan a trip, who will, you know, befriend you, if you will, and help you navigate. We know that consumers are very savvy. We know they're all over the internet, you know, fingers doing the clicking. And so the idea of advisor came in as a more collaborative term that the public really responded to. Thus, there was that rebranding for ASTA, also taking it in the, you know, the direction that I discussed with more resource for ICs. Now, in terms of NACTA, the National Association of Career Travel Agents, it really was, as you know, originally conceived as a vehicle and a place for the independent, the home-based agent to come together and find training, education, networking. However, as we've all evolved, and as the quote-unquote home-based agent has really become much more of the industry standard, people, less and less do they walk into a brick and mortar. So the idea is, since so many people in our country work remotely, why do we use the term home-based? Because there is a connotation that goes with that, that's perhaps not, you know, a serious career professional, when in fact we know that some of the top agents in the country are in fact based remotely. So the idea with NACTA rebranding along with ASTA said, well, we could stay as we are, we could join ASTA in the rebranding, and if we decide to do that, how would that look? Who are we really? And so the idea of the small business network of travel advisors came to be, and that's why there's ASTA and ASTA SBN Small Business Network. So instead of home-based travel agent, you could call yourself a member of a small business network of independent travel advisors, which is a much more professional sounding, I guess you'd call it just a title, or that was the idea behind it. And the NACTA board went back and forth with this and the chapter directors and really, really worked through this. This was truly, you know, an emotional issue for a lot of people, having been very connected to and committed to the small independent aspect of NACTA. That was a hard one to let go of for some people. But the idea is that we're moving forward together, rebranded with ASTA, who has also really expanded their focus, if you will, to include the independent contractors, the independent advisors who are out there in the field. That was probably the right move to send the right message to the traveling public that the ASTA name means travel professional.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and it's interesting because when you said that, I was just looking at some information about you when you were mentioning home-based, that there are different connotations in this day and age about what does home-based mean. So you bring up a really good point. Thank you.
Well, you know, I mean, it's true when sitting in the conference conventions and looking at the numbers on the screen of what of the volume of business that independent contractors, independent advisors contribute to the overall bottom line of the travel industry. I mean, it's really staggering when you see the numbers and when you realize what a fast-growing segment of the industry it really is. I think one of the things that's very important also is the idea that we continually work to elevate the professional standards in our industry so that if a person does go onto the Small Business Network or the ASTA itself site, what you find are advisors who are well-trained, who are well-educated, who are very interested in keeping up with trends and ongoing issues and concerns in the industry. I guess I should probably mention the ASTA VTA program, which is the Verified Travel Advisor Program. It consists of 9 classes, and these are typically not classes that you will find most of them. You really won't find other places, things like U.S. government regulations, things that we're supposed to disclose to clients, for example, when they travel, airline regulations, all these sorts of things, and agency management, you know, solid business classes, so that you, and ethics classes as well. And so the idea would be that if a person has training and education, that increases the traveling public's confidence in us as a profession. And it's up to us to sort of self-monitor and make sure that the people who do belong to our organizations are people who are taking this very seriously and are actually career professionals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How many, you mentioned that, do you know off the top of your head? I mean, I've seen it. I've seen the courses. They're really good. Do you remember about how many modules there were?
9. There are 9 modules.
9.
And you can take them individually, or you can sign up for the whole course. It's $399 if you sign up for the whole course. And at the end, you come out with a verified travel agent certification. We had our first class of 80 people met the goal right at the very, you know, end of the goal setting session. They said, if you want to walk across the stage at the convention, you have to finish this. And somebody was in their hotel that morning finishing it to walk across the stage and get their certification. But yeah, there are 9 classes, and each one takes, you know, I would say roughly an hour to maybe an hour and a half to the ancillary material that goes with that. And then there's a test after each course. So you can take them individually, or you can take them all as, you know, as one long certification process.
Right, right. But it's attainable, which is important for those who hate to take tests. 9 is an attainable number. 120, people go, eh.
Right. And I did it myself, and I was very impressed with the courses. I really was, like I said, we did a panel, you know, at the ASTA convention, and it was for new attendees and new members, things like that. And so they were talking, they wanted everybody up there, and we did a panel, and the idea was, is this useful? And I said, yes, yeah, some of those classes, I mean, the regulations classes and things, I certainly did not know. And it gets the chills in that horrifying, fascinating way that says, my heavens, I'm really glad I'm taking this class, because it defines if you're penalized for not disclosing things that you need to be disclosing by law, it can be up to $30,000 per infraction. That's really serious. And that could easily wipe out, you know, an agent or an agency. So I think that there are classes in there that everybody needs to look at and say, I think maybe that's useful. I should probably know this stuff.
Yep. Well, that's so important. So important. Thank you. That's good information for everybody to kind of keep on the back burner, because you want to put, you know, and ASTA and NACTA, now the small business portion of ASTA, their main point is to keep us professional. Linda, is there any discussion now that there's change coming, how this is going to roll out? Is it going to be a process over the, you know, till the end of the year? Was there any discussion about that? I know that they've had a couple of press releases about it, and the information's getting out there. And the point of the conference was to give you guys the whole, you know, information all in one place, so you get it from the exact same source, not reading it a bit here and a bit there. And also, how were people's reactions? It sounds like a great idea.
Well, that's a good question. So the first part of that is that ASTA and formerly NACTA are operating on 2 different IT platforms. And as anybody out there can imagine, You know, trying to combine two different IT platforms is challenging at best. There are two different websites. There are, you know, pros and cons, truthfully, to each website. NACTA might be easier to navigate. You know, ASTA may have more of something else. And particularly for the membership, I think there's a difference between the, you know, the public interface and what really actually works for advisors. So there's all of those things to be dealt with behind the curtain, so to speak, and keeping the best of each organization's IT platform while merging them into something more cohesive. So there's one sign in for members and, you know, one access point for information. That makes a lot of sense, but yes, it absolutely will take time. And in the meantime, the ASTA Small Business Network will also carry the little tagline, formerly NACTA, for a couple of years. Or, you know, until it's felt that the switch has been made in the minds of advisors, public, whatever, that people really have absorbed and I guess assimilated into that identity. So that's one piece of it in terms of the win. It's sort of on an as we can manage to make it happen kind of basis. But all the NACTA chapters will now become ASTA Small Business Network chapters, and where it's feasible and as new chapters are rolled out, they will definitely be looking at more chapters such as mine and Wendy Denny's up in Seattle. You know, the idea that it's but with focus perhaps for different events and things like that. And part of that is because ASTA is an advocacy organization. And as such, as you know, we have a political action committee, ASTAPAC, and we do in fact raise money for lobbying. There's a million, I don't even know how many lobbyists in Washington, D.C., and we have two. We have Eben Peck and we have Genevieve Strand. And those two people are the ones carrying our message to the senators and congresspeople and interns and all the people on Capitol Hill who are getting a lot of mixed messages from people who may not have our best interests at heart. So the idea that all of our chapters are combining and will be working together to promote advocacy of our industry is a very big part of the rebrand and the combination, if you will, so that all of the people who are NACTA members are automatically ASTA members, and as such are, you know, they've got a stake in the game. They always have, but they may not have realized it because NACTA didn't stress that as much, but that we're all committed and engaged and occupied in the process of making sure that legislation happens that's good for us, and that if there is language in legislation that is bad for us, we do our very best at a local, state, and federal level to make sure that our lawmakers really understand the concerns that we have. Zane Grey, our, you know, president, CEO, made the comment that politicians really, really love to feel that they're helping the little guy. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a member of a host agency with 3,000 agents. In our business, we're all the little guy, and the big guys are the airlines and, you know, the big tour operators and things like that. So we're definitely on the radar of our legislators. They just don't always have the information in front of them, which is why every year we have what we call Legislative Day. Or Ledge Day, and I got to attend my first one this May, which means that we all go to Washington, D.C., and we have a day of training on how to interact with staff and congressmen and women and senators. And then we're paired with other people in our state or region, and in our case, we had Oregon and Washington together, and we talked to six or eight different of our lawmakers, and put together. We had a a one sheet, really, with bullet points. And we were addressing three key issues that we really wanted some, you know, awareness around and potentially some action on, obviously. And it was one of the most rewarding things I've ever done in my life. And I literally cannot wait to go back and do it again. So I would tell people, you know, you may not think that what happened in DC affects you, but let me assure you that it really, really does affect you and your business. And whether that's regulations, disclosures, taxes, you know, one idea was that a state wanted to take a travel agent's gross income and tax their gross income. Now that would put most of us out of business because, as we all know, the margins are not that big to be able to pay taxes on your business. So through advocacy and the old fashioned word lobbying, we were able to, to get that language out of the bill and do some really good work for advisors and keep them in business.
Now that's important. And you don't realize how this is happening because it just happens so seamlessly that they are working for us, right?
Absolutely. Right. I mean, it's interesting when you think about this with all of the vast, I mean, you could take any industry, you could take airlines, you could take, you know, oil, you could take big pharma, whatever you have, and look at the hundreds, if not thousands of lobbyists. And ASTA, representing the entire travel advisor, travel professional community, we have two. But what we do also have is train advisors on the local level, the state and local level, to be able to speak with our own representatives when they're home to do their constituency glad handing and things like that, or the aides that stay in the office back home. It's a great opportunity to be able to interact and just let them know who we are, what we do, why we matter. And I think that that ASTA PAC, if you will, the Political Action Committee training that ASTA provides, it's really useful for every citizen because, you know, you feel that honestly, you can make a difference in the government beyond just ranting on Facebook like we all do about, you know, this guy or that guy or whoever we don't like at the moment. But the idea that, you know, these people, these elected representatives, they have so many people and so many issues. There's just no way that they can be an expert on all of them. They, you know, they can't even read 763 pages of a bill before they have to vote on it tomorrow morning. So the work that we do there is very, very important, down to the very smallest, newest, lowest, you know, lowest sale advisor out there. It does actually matter to you and your business. And that's a point that I guess I can't stress strongly enough. And I really wasn't aware of any of that until I went through some of these trainings and became educated about the issues that are facing our industry.
Right, right. And, you know, you make a really good point. I'm so glad you're on the show because you're such a good advocate of reminding us the overall picture. You know, we get used to having our meetings, networking with each other. When you are home-based, you do feel sometimes you're alone. And we have the opportunity, when being at meetings, to connect with others and talk about suppliers and be able to have that connection to somebody in the industry. And you're making a very good reminder about, you know, when we go to conferences, this is what we learn. This we learn about. This is what AFTA and NACTA do for us. Because, you know, sometimes we do feel, oh, it's just all about talking, lobbying, lobbying. Well, right. It's much more than that. Much more than that. I'd heard a new term for home-based. Well, this is an interesting term, and I was looking it up when you were talking because you'd mentioned the word home base is kind of awkward because there's no legitimacy to it. Mm-hmm. They're called micro enterprise.
That's interesting.
Kind of the new word. I know. I happen to have seen this on a Chamber of Commerce website I was looking at the other day for the Sitka Chamber of Commerce in Alaska. They have membership levels, and that's the first time I've seen microenterprise, which is home-based, no employees other than the owner. And I went, oh, that's kind of, I like that.
Right. So whether you would, you know, the microenterprise, independent travel advisor, whatever it's going to be, I think the idea is, you know, that you don't have to lead with the place that you sit to do your job. That's really right. Not important. Where I'm sitting to do my job, I could be seriously naked in a bubble bath or laying on a beach in Hawaii, which is, I think, what a lot of people think we do. The fact of the matter is most of us who do work remotely or independently and not in a brick and mortar are sitting in a home office in front of a computer with a telephone and a mountain of paperwork and books and catalogs and things around us and working pretty hard. And I think, you know, when, oh my gosh, I'm going to tell you how far long ago this was. It was 1990. I was on my second honeymoon in beautiful British Columbia, and we stayed at a B&B, and that was the first time I'd ever done that. And the woman who owned the B&B said, at that time in 1990, said in Canada, the government encourages people to have home-based businesses, to work from home as much as possible. It saves wear and tear on the roads. It's, you know, saves pollution. It conserves gas. There's a lot of advantages to that. Now in Canada, the standard really still is for travel. People do walk into travel agencies in Canada more so perhaps than they do here. But I mean, that trend will probably change there as well as time goes by. That was the first time that I ever really thought about, oh, you know, that's a good idea. And the time that we save, I mean, think, I know for myself, if I have to drive to Portland from McMinnville to attend the many meetings and trainings and things that I love to do, I leave 2 hours early in the late afternoon because I know it's going to take me that long to fight my way through traffic. Now, coming home is an hour, usually by 9 or 10 o'clock at night, the traffic's gone. But those potentially 3 hours are time that you can be spent a lot more productively, either selling, educating yourself, doing any of the things that we all need to do during a day. So I would actually argue that oftentimes people who do work remotely are perhaps more efficient than people who have to drive a long distance to get to an office to be in there, and then all the things that go along with being in an office. So I'm all for the remote-based advisors myself.
I know that AFTA is really starting to change their attitude on how they look at us, that we are more efficient, that we can work with clients just as well without paying for, say, a brick and mortar, because that was always one of the big divides between the two associations. Right. Is AFTA was always seen as old school brick and mortar. NACTA members were seen as working remote, home-based, micro-enterprise. But the country has really changed. The industry has really changed.
That's true.
So that there's less and less brick and mortars. In my area, the brick and mortar would be called AAA and Costco. There's, as far as I know, only one, you know, traditional brick and mortar, and she's struggling. You know, and every time I just happen to go by and I see her there, I'm like, wow, she's still here. Wow, she's still here. And that's really sad. I want her to succeed, but I'm always surprised. Wow, she's still here. And the attitude about the work that we do has really changed over the years. I have lots and lots of clients who make lots and lots of referrals. And once they get over the, didn't the internet hurt you? No, and talk with the potential client. Oh my God, you mean I can email you? You actually email me back at 10 at night. I'm like, yeah, depending. You know,
sleep too.
We don't have a traditional.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like tonight, I have clients, their documents arrived. I reviewed them and I am meeting them at, you know, my mobile office. It's called Starbucks.
I love
it. Meeting them at 5, It's 5:30 tonight. They're like, awesome.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a good Frappuccino as an evening pick-me-up? It's a perfect excuse.
Well, this is wonderful. Yeah, and you've got such good information to give us. I just wanted to take a minute, and I don't mean to break the cycle. I just wanted to thank you, Linda, for being on our show to be able to give the information that's just from last week.
Right. I was also going to mention that this year we did the ASTA convention and the NACTA conference back to back, and really that was specifically designed for the big merger and the news and all the things were happening. It just worked out that way. But the plan is in the future going forward, next year the ASTA convention will be down in Fort Lauderdale, and the NACTA, ASTA Small Business Network Conference, is going to be in Aurora, Colorado, with the brand new Gaylord Resort that's being built now. And we had a dinner, our awards dinner at the one in Washington, D.C., and it was an absolutely beautiful property. So I'm really excited about that. And then the year after that, ASTA will be back in Washington, D.C. for their convention, and NACTA, ASTA Small Business Network, will be in Savannah, Georgia. So there's definitely a plan to have distinct identities within ASTA so that the smaller independent people do feel they have a home, do feel they have a voice, do feel that they have representation moving forward, while combining and consolidating the best of each of the organizations. And I think one of the things that really drove that's really driven this change is that so many of ASTA's premium members are host agencies, and they do have a lot of advisors working remotely. And it was necessary to figure out a way for these people to not just, you know, go in on a host agency training webinar, but really, you know, to be able to get together on a regular basis with the local suppliers and things like that. So I feel like it's, I like to think of it as win-win. It's the best of both worlds. It'll be the best of what was NACTA and the best of ASTA as we move forward. And I feel like that's the really important piece to keep in mind.
Yes. And we want to be able to come together, not fight with one another, you know, kind of like feeling out of place and different. Right. But if there's a way to be able to get us to be able to come together, I mean, we're travel advisors. That's the bottom line. And
right.
We need each other to work together. So I'm glad that both sides are able to have something that both will keep. From what I understand, the NACTA side, even through the transition, will be able to keep the NAD list, which is the NACTA digest list, which is so important to us.
Which is, Lorene, I'm going to just tell you, which the interesting thing to me was that in polling the NACTA membership, that was just about the number one thing that popped up was the NACTA agent digest. And even though the platform might be a little clunky or funky or whatever, I mean, it is a perfectly invaluable way of getting sharing great information with each other. And I was kind of surprised about that. But yes, that is something that's not going away.
You know, but it's kind of unique. Again, it's getting to you have a place to ask questions,
right,
and give resources and be able to share if you can't interface with one another. So I'm really glad they're doing that.
It's all, I mean, I feel like this is the thing. There is plenty of room in this industry for all of us. And not every advisor is right for every client. We all specialize in different things. One of the other things I was gonna mention is that for members who are listening and who are members of ACTA, ASTA and NACTA perhaps, or one or the other, is to go ahead and keep your NACTA one sheet up and current, because that website is still up and current, and use it and promote yourself that way. But one of the benefits to the the merger, if you will, is that we'll all have TravelSense profiles. And TravelSense is a way that people can, that the public can interactively look for agents, and you will get actual referrals and leads for business if you choose to make your TravelSense profile public. So that's something that people could go in and take a look at and start working on. It's not vastly different than the NACTA one sheet, if that's what people are used to. It's somewhat different, but you know, it's not so much about the boxes that you would click. It's more about the information that you would put up. But the idea that it is in fact interactive, and people do get really good leads from TravelSense. I think they get like 80,000 hits a month or something like that. I mean, people are really out there looking and looking for a way to find a qualified travel professional. So I would not hesitate at all to recommend that people do both. Put your profile up on both platforms right away and use that to promote yourself and your business.
Will there be an eventual time where there's one membership? And how have they talked about how that's going to work? I mean, for those, let's say somebody just renewed their NACTA membership, say in September. I'm just making up a story. Is there going to be a time, say in the new year, where everything rolls together?
Yes.
And then you're listed at SASTA and your membership goes until September? Have they figured that out yet?
Yes, the unique benefit is one payment to ASTA Small Business Network also makes an advisor a member of ASTA. So, and a number of the advisors at the conference indicated, which is true of me as well, and probably you, we're paying dual dues. So one rate will make you members of both organizations, and that rollout is happening, and you won't lose a dime. Whatever you've paid so far, if your membership extends 1 year, 2 years, however down the road, you won't lose any money in the transition. It's all about making this as seamless as possible and giving members access to as many benefits and resources as possible.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, this is all good news. Sounds like it's a win-win for everybody.
I really do feel like it is, honestly.
Barry, I know you're in the background because he always does this. He has a squeaky chair and a dog, and he has noise, so he always is. We forget he's there, but he's really just being a voyeur and listening in the background. But he always pops up with a good question.
Okay.
Well, you put a lot of pressure on me, Laureen, but I can tell you that our little Yorkie has been trying to get on this show. She's just been trying very hard, but I think now she's laid down and taken a nap. But anyway, that's good. No, I really don't have a question. I think this is really good information. I think the travel advisors out there should be interested in this, and if they're not a part of NACTA or ASTA right now, it's still a good time to get involved, and it's a helpful organization. So,
absolutely. Linda, do you feel you're in a good spot to be able to wrap up a little bit?
Wrap up this interview?
Yes,
I do. I feel like
I didn't know if you had some other burning thing. Oh, I need to remember to say this, because that'll come as soon as we hit the turn off the volume record button, because it always happens. I was going to have you tell our listeners if they have any questions, how to reach you. Hey, I have clients going up to McMinnville. Oh, do you have any recommendations? I want to become a member of your chapter, Linda. Oh, you're wonderful. How do I do that?
Well, I guess I would say, like everybody else, you can certainly find me on Facebook. Linda Philippi, I've got Renaissance Travel and Events is my business page. We have a Portland ASTA Small Business Network Facebook page. And you're certainly welcome to email me. At this point, I have to confess, I have the cheesy Gmail because my other email was hacked, but it's REN. TVL35@gmail.com. So we would welcome any inquiries about membership. And of course, there are the ASTA and NACTA websites as well, where you can get all the information you could possibly want about membership and benefits and features and, you know, what's in it for you, so to speak, because I think that's the bottom line for everybody is what's in it for me, rightfully so. So those are some ways to reach us. And I appreciate the opportunity to speak with both of you today.
And we, Linda and I, have both been reassured that there will be some public bullet points that will be provided to, I was just about to say chapter directors, but we have new titles of chapter presidents,
right.
Bullet points to be able to talk to our membership members, because I know that as a volunteer leader in this organization, I so am not stepping in that little area of rattlesnakes and going to get bit because I don't have the right bullet points. Any member who has started to ask me questions, I'm just like, hold tight. I'll have those bullet points to you, and hopefully NACTA will send them just so we're all on the same page.
You know, there's so many moving pieces to an operation of this size and of this nature for any merger, whether it's two airlines or two organizations or anything like that. So I think what's really important for people to know, for members and travel advisors to know, is that they chapter that they currently belong to, they still belong to, and that things will really only become better in the future. And this whole thing is all about expanding the possibilities and the opportunities for every travel advisor who is a member of the organization to really fully realize the potential that they have as a travel professional and the opportunity for growth, education, training, networking for their business.
Exactly. And that it's kind of the greater good.
There's going to be
a lot of people are like, see, look, they're taking us over. Oh, look, the merger acquisition, just chill. Let it finish.
I wouldn't look at it as any kind of a negative at all. I would look at it as an opportunity to expand, you know, and realize a greater potential for yourself and your business is how I would probably frame it to somebody who has questions or concerns about that.
There you go. That's perfect. And on that note, Barry, how do people reach you?
Well, they can reach me at Barry, Barry, at hometravelagent.net, and on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS. And I was just thinking maybe it's time to rebrand the Home-Based Travel Agent Show into the Home-Based Travel Advisor Show. So maybe I'll be working on that in the near future.
Yeah.
And Lorene, how do people reach you?
I can always be reached at sharptongued@mac.com, and that's sharptongued@mac.com. You can always reach me via Facebook. My personal page is Lorene R. That's LORENER. And of course, I have my big girl, grown up Facebook page for my business, which is Sharp Tongue Consulting. And that's all about travel. And you will never see on my travel site, woo-woo, look at Carnival Cruise, $199, book now. No, I don't do business that way. I want you to have a quality vacation. So I'm not going to be one of those ones that have the quick last-minute sales, because I'm telling you, for $199, maybe you make $19 off all that work. Want you to have a good vacation. Thank you again, Linda. Maybe we'll have you on the show in the future talking about the best of the best of McMinnville, because we do destination topics. from time to time.
I would be more than happy to be a cheerleader for our area, because this is a beautiful destination for food, wine, fun, all kinds of things. So yes, I would look forward to that.
And Barry and I have our September guest lined up. She is with Sonoma County Tourism, and we are doing that because, scary as it is, it has almost been one full year since we had those horrible, horrible, horrible fires. Oh. And I am always an advocate to remind people that Sonoma County is flourishing. We want people to send their clients here. No, all the vineyards didn't burn down, good or bad. It was almost all in the residential area. Like I said, I don't know if that's good or bad, but tourism is still really strong here, and we want people to send their clients here. So come and support us, support our economy, and come to Sonoma County, and our guests will be talking kind of a year wrap-up. So, all right. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Barry. And we will talk again next month.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you. Well, thank you, Linda, for being a great guest. And the information you gave us is very informative. And we look forward to NACTA and ASTA's rebranding, and all for the benefit of our world of travel advisors here. So once again, thank you for being a part of the show. We do look forward to having you back sometime. And I just know you're a wealth of knowledge, and you have a lot that you can share with other travel advisors here on the Home Base Travel Advisor Show. See, I did it. I didn't forget to do that. Anyhow, I also want to thank Laureen for being our co-host and arranging all of our great guests. And thank you very much, Laureen, for that. Well, next month we will be back, and we will have a guest from Sonoma County talking about the tourist trade there. And it's a year's anniversary from the fire, so we'll be talking a little bit about that too. One thing I do want to say is that all of our guests on the show are there because we've invited them to become a part of the show, and they haven't paid us anything or any kind of compensation for being a part of the show. That's true for all of our guests, and we really appreciate them coming on board with us and giving you some information that I hope you can use. So with that, what I want to do is sign off here, and I do want to wish you safe travel, stay healthy, everybody, and we'll see you next month.